Over the summer, we had a bunch of different speakers here during Pastor's illness to fill the pulpit. And one of the speakers, I believe it was when Pastor Boyce was here, somewhere in his message, he mentioned the word precious. And for some reason, that word stuck out to me. I don't know. I don't even know why. I don't remember how he used it in his message. But I wrote something down on a piece of paper in my Bible then. And like I say, that was in the middle of summer. So I'm very busy with things at the camp during the summer. And I didn't have time to look at it more so until after the summer. But then I come across that page, paper that I wrote that on after the summer, probably the end of August, beginning of September. And I looked up every place in the Bible where it used the word precious. And I thought it was interesting. I looked at the Greek words and the Hebrew words, and not that I understand Greek or Hebrew, but the meanings, the definitions, and other words it was translated into. And I thought, you know, that would make a good message one day. And a few weeks ago, Pastor asked me to fill in for him, so I finished my study. So thank the Lord, though. That's the toughest part of preparing for a message, for me anyhow, is figuring out what topic. How do you know? There's so much in the Bible. Where do you go? Is it a certain passage? Is it a particular topic? But the Lord gave me this topic before I even knew I was going to have to come up with one. So I'm certainly thankful that the Lord took that burden off of my shoulders to figure out what topic. So not that there's a special title for the message, but we're going to kind of do a word study on the word precious. We're not going to look at every reference in the Scriptures because there's 76 of them. We want to get home before breakfast tomorrow. But we will look at a few in the Scriptures, and I think it's an interesting study. It's important to learn about what the Bible calls precious. It's found 76 times in the King James Bible, the word precious. Most of the time, it's referring to stones, believe it or not. Seems kind of strange. I mean, we just walked across a bunch of stones in the parking lot to get here, and they certainly weren't precious stones, right? But there are some stones that are precious, right? You ladies that are married, you have a precious stone on your hand, right? It's not just precious because a diamond is considered a precious stone because it's rare and expensive, but it's precious because of who it came from, I hope. It ought to be precious for that reason. I remember hearing somebody one time say he was online at a grocery store, and he happened to notice the lady in front of him when she was getting the things out of her cart, putting it on the cash register there, that her wedding ring was on the wrong finger. So he thought that was interesting. So he told her, excuse me, ma'am, I think your ring's on the wrong finger. She said, that's to remind me that I married the wrong man. I'll get on a different line. I don't know. Probably wasn't a good situation there, but that diamond in the wedding ring is precious because of what it signifies, what it reminds you of, your wedding and your wedding vows and things like that. In the Bible, those 76 times the word precious is found in our English Bibles, five different Greek words are used in the New Testament, and 12 different forms of a Hebrew word are used in the Old Testament. So I was trying to think of today, what are some of the things that we use the word precious for today? I think it is one of those words that we abuse sometimes too. We may call some things precious that maybe really aren't precious. It reminded me of when Pastor talks about the word awesome. We really shouldn't use that word unless we're describing something of God, because truly He's the only one that's awesome. We can't say, I just got a new truck and it's an awesome truck. That's not on the same scale as God. And some of the things we call precious may not be truly precious. Maybe we'll see as we look at how the Bible uses that word today. But I've seen precious used as a name. Somebody named their child Precious once. I saw that. I think it was on one of those things on TV where there was a missing child, and they put the child's name on there, and the child's name was Precious. And that's a shame that would happen. We have those little ceramic figurines in our house, maybe you do too, called Precious Moments, right? I think that they're probably because of the way they're made or how cute they are or things like that. I remember, I don't know if it was just before we were married or shortly after, where we took my wife's two twin sisters when they were probably around 3 years old, took them to a zoo. Was it Philadelphia Zoo? And we had a great time. It was really neat to see their expressions, seeing the animals for the first time and different things like that. And when we brought them back, I remember telling my mother-in-law, these two girls look like those Precious Moments figurines. They really are. If you ever come to our house, we'll show you our wedding album. And they were the flower girls at our wedding, and they do look like Precious Moment figurines. But my mother-in-law was very quick in saying, yeah, they're precious, but they have their moments. Any of you that have raised children know what that means. So we use the word precious describing those figurines, precious moments. I happened to look it up, do a search on the internet about the word precious to see what else is out there today that is used with the word precious. And apparently, I don't even remember seeing this advertised, but apparently there was a movie in 2009 called Precious. Interestingly, it was rated R, so I don't know how precious it actually was. But I don't know. So obviously there are misuses of the word precious as well. It can refer to a person. You know, I'm sure any of you that have had children, when you first have a baby and you see that baby and you hold that baby, it's probably one of the first words that comes to your mind. It's precious. And it really is. That can be a precious time to spend with a newborn baby. Maybe your spouse is precious. I hope your spouse is precious to you. I hope your children are. Maybe your parents or a grandparent. There should be somebody that's precious to us, humanly speaking, in our lives. It could refer to what somebody said one time that could be precious to you. Okay, maybe I love you. Maybe a wedding vow. Something like that should be precious. Maybe your child's first words, first time they said mama or dada. That's precious. That's a unique time in somebody's life. Seems like it was so long ago for us now. but that's a precious thing that somebody could say. Possibly something that somebody did could be precious to you if it was in a time of need or something like that. I still have I don't know if it's all, but probably most of the cards that my family has given me on different holidays, birthdays, Father's Day, things like that. And I think the ones that are most precious to me are the ones that my children made for me, not just bought. You know, sometimes the ones that are bought, the things that are handwritten in there is precious as well. But the ones that they make, it's precious because it's from them. You know, it's different. It's not from Hallmark. So that can be precious. Sometimes an inanimate object can be precious to us. We talked about a ring, right? This is just an inanimate object made out of materials from earth. But it's precious to us because of who gave it to us. That makes it precious to us. Maybe it's a picture of a loved one that's passed on that can be precious to you. Maybe it's a different piece of jewelry. Maybe a necklace you got for your grandmother or somebody that reminds you of them. So that's what makes it precious. And it makes it special. It can be time. Certainly time, maybe the last moments alive. Maybe you spent some time with somebody in their last moments and that was a precious time that you spent with them. Maybe it was the first moments when the baby's first born. That can be precious. So time certainly is precious as well in different aspects of that. It's interesting that as I was thinking about this, the same object that may not be precious at one time may become precious to us at another time. Or I guess it could even work vice versa. I hadn't thought about that, but it could. Most of you guys know that I'm a volunteer with the fire department in the town that I live in, and we got a new fire truck this year, a new fire engine. That's exciting time, you know. But I can't say that I would describe the fire truck as being precious. I couldn't. I was excited about it. It's nice that we got a brand new fire engine, the first one in 25 years or so that we got. So, you know, it's much better equipped for us to do things that we need to do with. But if your house was on fire and you had a loved one trapped inside and that fire truck turns the corner, it's precious to you. Because of what it signifies. It's the only chance your loved one may get out of the house. So you see, so some things may not be precious all the time, but at certain times, they can become precious to us. So if you really want to get to know somebody, find out what is precious to them. And it may not always work by asking, because we know the right words to say, right? Yeah, you know, my family's precious to me, and somebody could say his wife is precious to him, and yet behind the scenes treat her like a mat, you know, and not really show that he's precious, that she's precious to him. So if you really want to get to know somebody, watch them for a while, and you'll find out what is precious to them. If they're only talking about themselves, well, they're precious to themselves, I guess. But find out what they talk about, what they do, where they go. That's a good way to. For you, especially for you younger kids, it's a good way to choose friends. Get to know them. See what they do, what they don't do. Find out what's precious to them. It's a good way for you single people out there that may be searching for a spouse. It's a good way to find out who would make a good spouse. Find out what's precious to them, what's important, what they consider to be precious. And you know, for all of us who are believers, it's a good way for us to find out things about our God. Let's find out what's precious about God. And He's told us in His Word things that are precious to Him, and we ought to make those same things precious to us. So we're going to look at a few different passages. I got a bunch of them here. I don't know if we'll get through all of them or not, but a few different things, and try to find out what is precious to God. The first one's found in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Some of the things are precious to Him because He wants them to be precious to us. He made them for us, that we don't even realize sometimes these things are precious to us until we stop and think about it. Deuteronomy chapter 33, starting in verse 13. The Bible says, "Then of Joseph he said, Blessed is the Lord, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits that brought forth by the sun, for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." Okay, so here we find the word precious used many different times in these four verses here. But in those verses, it's all the same Hebrew word, and it means a distinguished thing, something valuable. Okay, and generally it's talking in this passage here about the necessities of life. I mean, we live in a country that's bountiful. I mean, we have everything as far as what we can eat. We have clean water we can drink. We have clean air we can breathe. But there's a lot of people in the world that don't have that. So these things really are precious to us, even though we don't think about it that way, unless we go without. Try going without air for a while, right? It becomes precious to you. This past late spring, early summer, when I was filling the pool at the camp there, I slipped into the river. Totally unexpected. And I was without air for a couple seconds, only a couple seconds. But it was precious to get back out of the river and take that breath of air and spit the water out. It was a scary time. You know, you go without one of these things and you realize how precious food, air, and water is. And we certainly can be thankful that God's given us these things for our physical life to sustain us. You can't last too long without water. That certainly is something precious to us, but there's a lot of places that don't have clean water to drink. Most of us have clean water coming from our taps, from our wells in the ground, or from the town water, but we also buy bottled water. You know, it's bountiful here in our land, and we don't realize it. And food is just plentiful, especially this holiday, Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm sure all of us ate and had more food than we really needed. And yet there's a lot of people that don't have it. So these things are precious. And we don't truly realize that here in America until we run low or run out of one of them. Then we realize how precious they truly are. The next passage is 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. Again, I think this is something that's easy for us to take for granted here in America. We don't treat it as preciously as we ought to. 1 Samuel 3, 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." See, the word of God was precious in those days. They didn't have a copy of the Bible like you and I do. They didn't have paper and ink like we do. Back then, God used prophets to speak His word to the people. And if there was no prophet speaking God's word, you didn't have God's word. And I didn't look up to see exactly how long it had been since the last prophet had spoken, but it said there was no open vision. So God wasn't communicating through a prophet to His people His word at that time. So when Samuel came on the scene here, it was precious that he was able to give the word of the Lord to the people in those days. We don't realize how precious our Bibles are to us. The word for precious in that verse means valuable, costly, and excellent. The Bible certainly is valuable. I trust that we all realize that. I don't think we realize it fully, but it certainly is valuable. It was costly. many of the writers of the scriptures, the human writers, God's the author, but he used human writers, of course, to pen these words down. But many of them were severely persecuted. Some were killed. I mean, it was costly for their lives. And the Word of God, of course, is mainly about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he was certainly persecuted and killed, so it cost him his life. So the Word of God certainly is costly, and obviously it's excellent because it comes from the most excellent one. It's God's Word. If it was my Word, it wouldn't be excellent. It would contain many errors, but it's God's Word, so it's excellent, it's perfect. And it was precious in those days, the Bible tells us there. There's another time, you don't have to turn there, but another time in Nehemiah, when there had been decades without anybody reading, they had an actual copy on a scroll of, up until then, some of the scriptures back then, and they would read it. But they had gone decades without reading the Word of God in Nehemiah chapter 8. Let me just read a couple of the verses here. In Nehemiah chapter 8, I'll read the first three verses. It says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses." The book of the law of Moses is the first five books in our Bible, Genesis through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So some of those books in there are kind of tough to read, at least they are for me, you know, to understand the picture of what's going on, the words. Some of that is tough, but that's all they had back then as far as the Word of God. So he brought the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until the midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So they hadn't heard from this scroll, from the book of the law, from the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, for decades. And here they found it. They're all excited. Yes, now we can read from the Bible. And they all stood there from morning till midday, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I don't know how many hours they spent there just reading from the Word of God. We might consider that kind of boring. But if we hadn't heard from the Word of God for that many years, it'd be exciting. And I think there's another verse later on that said they actually stood there listening. They didn't have pews. They didn't have seats. They stood there listening to the Word of God for that many hours because they were excited. It was precious to them. Okay, so the Word of God was precious to them because they hadn't heard it in so many times, so many years. You know, we certainly have many copies of the Bible. Probably each one of us have more than one copy of the Scriptures. You can get it at the dollar store, even, really. And in one sense, you may think that that's cheapening the Word of God, but on the other hand, praise the Lord if it goes further, you know, that more people can get it. It doesn't matter which Bible you have. Read the Bible and listen to what it says. And all the Bibles, as far as I know, have the gospel in it. And God can certainly use His precious Word to speak to us. I hope that you do read your Bible, not just that you have a copy of it. If it really is precious to you, you're not just going to come on Sundays and, oh, that's all the Bible I need once a week. Good enough for me. I hope you read it every day and that you get more from it. I heard somebody say one time that 7 days without the Word of God makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. Okay? It's true. It makes us weak if we don't go without the Word of God. If we don't go to it every day, it makes us weak. And the devil's referred to in the Bible, in the book of James, as a lion, right? And you've seen those nature shows where the lion goes after the weakest one. So if you're not in the Word of God and you're getting weak, the devil's going to come after you. Certainly is true. All right, so let's look at another one. 2 Kings chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. A little background here in this passage so we don't take too much time reading about it. This is when King Ahaziah had fallen. He was injured, but instead of going to God for help, he had sent messengers to ask Baal-zebub, an idol of Ekron, what was going to happen to him. Instead of going to God, he went to an idol. Elijah intercepted them and told them to go ask Ahaziah why he didn't ask God instead of Baal. So King Ahaziah sent a captain and 50 soldiers to get Elijah, but Elijah called out fire from heaven to consume them. And the same thing happened to the next group. The king sent another captain with 50 soldiers with him to find out what happened, and Elijah called that fire for the second group. So here we find us in verses 13 and 14, we find a third group. A captain and 50 soldiers came with him. It says, 2 Kings 1:13-14, it says, and he sent again captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of the 50 went up, came and fell on his knees before Elijah, and he besought him, he begged him, and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these thy 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains on the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. So he was talking about his own physical life being precious, and physical life is precious. Our world around us wants us to think that it's not so precious. They kill babies that are still in the womb, right? Can't be precious if we're committing abortions. They want us to help assist people that are in terminal illnesses or elderly to end their lives. Well, life is still precious even when you're at that end of the spectrum of life. Physical life is precious, as this captain pointed out, begging for his own life. The word precious in that verse means valuable, costly, or excellent, the same word as what we saw in 1 Samuel there. And physical life is valuable. It is costly. It is excellent. Even if some people around us don't want us to give it as much value as it needs, it is valuable. God's given us physical life. We wouldn't have physical life if God didn't do that. Life only begets life. Okay? Scientists have tried, from what I've read, they've tried to make a seed. You know, they take a seed, a tree seed or a fruit seed or whatever, and take it apart in a lab, figure out everything that's in it. Then they get those other ingredients and they put it all together, but nothing grows from it. That's because man put that together. I can't put my life into what I make, but God can do that. Only God can do that. So we only have life, physical life, because of God. And we'll get to spiritual life in a few minutes here, but so we have spiritual life because of him as well. But our physical life is because of God. So it's valuable because it comes from him. Go to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verses 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Okay, here it's talking about spiritual life, the redemption of souls. We know as believers that Jesus Christ is the reason we have redemption for our souls. It's because of what he did on the cross for us. There's nothing that we can do to redeem our souls ourselves. We can be the best person there ever was on this planet and still go to hell when we die, unless we trusted what Jesus Christ did, his finished work on the cross. God won't accept our good works to gain entrance to heaven. He will only accept what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. But this verse is important here, talking about precious, how precious the redemption of their soul is, that you can't buy it. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how well off you are, you can't buy the redemption of your soul. God doesn't accept MasterCard or Visa. He wouldn't accept your bank account. He only accepts the blood of his son. It says that nobody can redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. We can't save somebody else. Some religions want you to pray for somebody else and pray so much, pray them into heaven. Well, that doesn't work according to the Bible. We have to trust Jesus Christ ourselves in order to get to heaven. Every man has to do that for himself. We can't pay the ransom for our brother to be redeemed. Only Jesus Christ can redeem us. The redemption of their soul is precious. Our souls can only be redeemed while they're alive physically. And then that period of time ceases. That's what it means there in verse 8. The redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Okay, it's only while that soul is alive that we can call out to Christ to redeem our souls and to save us from our sins, to give us spiritual life. We don't know when that day is going to be, that the end of our life is near. We may think, some of those that are young may think that we have many years left, but it could come today. Who knows when that end is? So that's why we need to be ready. We need to be ready and call on Christ to save us and redeem our souls now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and not to put it off and wait. So spiritual life, spiritual birth is precious to God. The redemption of our souls is precious. Why would he have sent his son to die on the cross for our sins if it wasn't something that was precious to him? So that is something that's precious to him. Turn ahead a few chapters in Psalms to 116 and verse 15. This is a difficult one. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Psalm 116 and verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You know, sometimes it doesn't seem too precious, especially the death of his saints. The first one that came to my mind when I was thinking about this was Pastor Franklin and his son Drew. I mean, Pastor Franklin was an incredible Christian, an incredible speaker, an author. I learned many things from him. He spoke at the camp many different times on family weeks, and he was an excellent man of God. Yet God saw fit to take him home when he was in his mid-50s, I think it was, just a few years ago. And it doesn't make sense to us. We don't think of it as being precious. As I was thinking about this, though, it's the same word that means valuable, costly, and excellent. But it doesn't say precious in our sight is the death of the saints. Okay, it says precious in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't say happy is the Lord in the death of his saints. It says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Maybe it's precious in God's sight because he's eager to give rewards to those that have truly served him. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the meaning of this is. But it does say that it's precious in the sight of the Lord. I think maybe it's referring to life in heaven. Certainly life in heaven is going to be precious. From the little glimpse we have through the scripture of what it's like up there, that's going to be precious. So God may be excited that, you know, this servant of mine who's suffering from whatever he's suffering from, be much better off up here. Let me take him. We may think it's too early, but God knows the right time, and he has an appointment for each one of us. So life in heaven is something that's precious to God, and I think that he certainly is eager to have us there with him. Sometimes, some days, I think we're eager to get there. I hope that we really are all the time, but we ought to be eager to get to heaven and to see what life is in heaven. 10 more chapters, Psalm 126. Psalm 126 and verse 6. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Okay, this verse I think can refer to either farming or spiritual seed planting, evangelizing. And either way, it's precious, if you think about it. I mean, the fact that God puts seeds in the food that we eat so that there can be more fruit and more, so that we still have today what was already, what God had created 6,000 years ago, or however long it was. I think that's a blessing. But I think this is really talking about hard work. We don't like to think about hard work as being precious, right? That's tough, especially when it's hot outside. If you're working physical labor, sweating and everything, it's tough. But really, hard work is precious. I think the rewards that we get for our hard work when the farmer plants the seed is a blessing. Not just because he earns a living or whatever, but because the rest of us enjoy the food that is planted. Again, it goes back to what we talked about under the first point there. But certainly, spiritually speaking, if we're out evangelizing as Christians, as we ought to be, the hard work that we put into that is rewarding. To lead somebody to the Lord, to see somebody come to the Lord, even if you're not the one, if somebody else eventually leads them to the Lord, praise the Lord, that's great. That's exciting. That's precious. And certainly, God sees that as precious. I had a few more chapters, Psalm 139. And verse 17, this is one of the ones that is incredible for me to think about. I trust it is for you as well. Psalm 139 and verse 17, it says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them." Can you believe that God thinks about us? I mean, I was thinking about this, and you know, all the things, I have a calendar thing on my phone there to remind me of different things, events coming up in my life, because I forget. I forget things easily. But could you imagine how many gigabytes God would need on his cell phone if he was to put everything that he has to think about every day, every moment of every day, and yet he thinks about me, about you? And not only does it say that, oh, he had a thought about you, but how great is the sum of the thoughts that he has about us? So I think this verse is telling us that God himself is precious. It's incredible what God can do. It's way beyond what we can comprehend. But the simple fact that God thought about us, and that we're going to see in a little bit in the New Testament here, that God's given us everything that we need to survive here on this earth. And he tells us even about what the next life is going to be in heaven. So that's precious. What God's given us is precious through his word. He's a great God. Turn ahead to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." So wisdom here, this verse obviously is talking about wisdom, is precious. There's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge out there, and we can access knowledge today faster than we ever could before through computers and smartphones and all these things. But it seems like there's a lack of wisdom today. People are accessing this knowledge as they're driving down the road and crashing. There's no wisdom there. It doesn't make sense. So wisdom should be precious for us as well. We need to gain wisdom. The Bible gives us a lot of knowledge, and it gives us the ability to put this knowledge into practice, and that's where the wisdom comes in, to put it into practice. I hope that you don't just come here each week, week after week, because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to go to church, and I got to sit through the message and hear what the pastor says about the Word of God. But we're here to gain wisdom. We're here to hear from God, who has all kinds of knowledge and wisdom, and wants to give us some to help us. So it's precious to have wisdom and to put these things into practice throughout the week. We don't always do as much as we ought to, but wisdom hopefully encourages us and helps us to put these things into practice as we hear them. And also, even as you just read in your own devotions each day, you should be able to get knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God on your own as well. But it's a double blessing when we come together to hear from the Word of God, from our teachers and our pastor. I had a few chapters, Proverbs chapter 12. Here's another passage that talks about hard work being precious. Proverbs 12:27. "The slothful man," or the lazy man, "roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Okay, the fact that we can provide for our families, I think, is precious. That was one of the things that I really looked forward to as I became an adult and wanted to have a family of my own. I want to be able to provide for my family. That's a satisfying feeling. I think it's a good thing for people to want to do, instead of being selfish and only want what I want, to provide for your family. It's a good thing. It's a precious thing. Again, hard work. The slothful man, the one that doesn't go to provide for his family, can't experience that preciousness in his life. And there's a lot of slothful, lazy people out there today. Certainly there are some people who can't because of a physical disability, and we ought to be trying to help them as much as we can. But there are a lot of lazy people out there, too, that are relying on things that shouldn't be relying on, and ought to be out there working and providing for their own families. But again, there's another passage where the Bible tells us hard work is precious. It's a good thing to be out there and work. God's given us responsibilities. Do you realize that God gave Adam responsibilities as far as caring for the garden even before the curse was placed? He still had to care for it. There was still work in a perfect environment. There still was work to be done. And we're going to be doing things when we get to heaven. We're not just going to be sitting on a recliner and, this is nice. Yeah, I like it. there's going to be things for us to do up there. So work is not a curse. work is something that's precious that we're able to do. Stop and think about how God's given you the physical health, the physical ability to be able to do things, to serve, to provide for your families and to serve Him. Really, that's what you're doing, is carrying out part of your role, your responsibility. The next one we're going to find in Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." Okay, so he's talking about taking forth the precious from the vial. It's talk about making a distinction between what is precious and what is vile. Sometimes we don't like to have things black and white. We like that gray area, and we want that gray area to become bigger and bigger. Well, what I'm doing really isn't too bad. It's not as bad as what other people are doing. Well, God wants us to separate the precious from the vile, to make a distinction. The more that we read the Word of God and hear the Word of God taught, the better we'll be able to make that distinction and separate the precious and the vile, and to do the things that are precious. Again, this word has the same idea, it's the same Hebrew word, as being valuable, costly, and excellent. It has the idea of removing precious metals, like silver or gold, from the dross in the smelting process. You've all heard illustrations like that, right? How they make silver and gold. I even brought up a picture of gold on my smartphone in the raw, and it's ugly. It doesn't look like anything that I would even save, because there's dirt, there's impurities in it. But as they put that in the smelting pot and bring up the dross, it's beautiful. It can make beautiful things, jewelry, all kinds of things. It's one of the most precious metals that there is. And the same is true with us. God was telling Jeremiah here that if he separates the precious from the vile in his life, and he focuses on the precious, then God could use him as a mouthpiece. Where was it here? Thou shalt be as my mouth. Again, Jeremiah was one of the Old Testament prophets. If we remember, the prophets were the ones that spoke the Word of God to the people. If you imagine the people being the piano over here and God being the pulpit, the prophet was the one that had his back toward God and spoke God's Word to the people, and the priest was the one that brought the sacrifices from the people to God. So the priest would be facing God, the prophet would be facing the people. And Jeremiah was a prophet. In order to speak God's Word truthfully and purely, he had to separate the vile from the precious, so as not to contaminate the Word of God. The goal was to have unbelievers become more like Jeremiah and not have Jeremiah return to the unbelieving ways. That's what it says at the end of the verse there. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Okay, we're all tempted to backslide. We're all tempted as Christians to go backwards in our former ways of life. And there's different ways that the devil uses things to entice us to do that. And sometimes we slip and we fall. But God wants us to get up and to become more like Him and to draw other people in that same direction rather than us going backwards. It's an important thing for us to know. And that's precious. Godly living is a precious thing to our God. And He wants us to exercise godly living. And a few verses in the New Testament. In James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath a long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." So a farmer, who's the husbandman in this verse, he waits for the fruit. I mean, any of you who've planted a garden, maybe a vegetable garden or something, you know, it takes a while from the time that little seed turns into a nice ripe tomato at the end of August, and you're able to have a nice tomato sandwich. The guy probably misses that from being down in Florida, right? I don't know if he likes tomatoes or not. Some people don't. But I really enjoy that. We plant a few tomato plants at our house and really enjoy those homegrown tomatoes. And it's rewarding. It's precious to have a homegrown one rather than one you have to spend $3 to buy at the store, right? That's a neat blessing. But the same is true with us spiritually. We need to plant seeds in others around us. That's why it's important to have a church family like this, to come out to Sunday school or to Bible studies that we have, so that we can help plant seeds in the younger kids, in the adults, whatever age it is, and then to actually see that coming as they get older and become adults, to see it blossoming and blooming, to see the fruit of what was planted years ago in their life. It's encouraging. It doesn't always happen, and it can be discouraging. I'm sure a farmer would be discouraged if a blight came and wiped out his whole crop. Sometimes that happens. But nonetheless, God tells us to be faithful in planting the seed, and He'll take care of watering it. Somebody else will. Somebody else will fertilize it, whatever. But God will bring forth the harvest. People back then had to preserve foods through the winter months and into the spring until the next harvest was ready at the end of summer. So the new crop was dear to them. It was precious to them. You know, they're still eating last year's harvest at this time, and I don't know what methods of preservation they used back then, but I'm sure it didn't taste as good as fresh fruit, fresh vegetables that they were growing. So it was precious to bite into something that was fresh and delicious. Today we're not used to that because we have foods imported here 12 months out of the year. You know, we always have fresh things we can even get at the supermarket, even when we can't grow it outside. But we're blessed being in this part of the world. But we need to be patient with new believers as well. Sometimes they have slow growth, right? When you first see the blossoms on a tomato plant, then you see those little green tomatoes and your mouth starts watering. It's coming, but it's a week later. It takes a while. Some plants grow slower than others. And the same is true with believers. God doesn't tell us that they need to grow at a certain rate, but there needs to be visible growth. If we don't see growth in a believer's life, we need to be concerned about that to make sure that they really are a believer, first of all, and then find out what's going on, what's hindering that growth, and to help them out. So spiritual growth is something that's precious to God. 1 Peter 1, 7. We don't like this precious thing. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you realize trials are precious to God? We don't like that. They sound like opposite ends. You know, they should be oxymorons or whatever that is. You know, pastor certainly has gone through a real tough trial this year with physical things going on in his life. But thank the Lord, he certainly has a good view on it, realizing this is from God and that God helped him through this. We all have trials in our life of different magnitudes. And certainly they feel more important, more intense when it's happening to us rather than somebody else. Yet we need to pray for each other. We need to be concerned with what everybody else is going through. But that's more precious than gold. Gold being probably the most precious metal there is on earth, right? But the Bible says our trials are more precious than that, because that makes us more Christ-like. Going back to that smelting pot, right, with the refineries and getting all the imperfections out of the gold. God keeps turning the trials up in our lives to get that imperfection out of there until He can see His Son's reflection from the pure gold that's left in our lives. So that's why we have the trials. Raw gold, as I said before, certainly does not look precious. It must go through intense heat to be purified so that it does look precious. The Greek word for precious here means costly or beloved, honored, and dear. I think those four words certainly also describe our Savior Jesus Christ, right? He was costly, costed Him His life in order for us to even enter that smelting pot, to have the trials to come to be like Him. He's beloved. God said it was His only begotten Son, right? God certainly loved His Son. He was honored. Philippians 2:9 says, talks about God exalting Christ. Because of what He did, God honored Him and exalted Him. And then He is dear. In Colossians 1:13, God talks about Him as His dear Son. And certainly those things all are descriptions of Christ. But we also need to realize that our trials are precious to God, in that the end result that He's hoping for is that we would be more Christ-like. And if that really is what happens, then we realize it is precious to us as well. It's not precious going through the trial. It's not precious in the process, usually, but the end result is something that's precious in God's eyes. Go down a few verses to verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Certainly the blood of Christ is something that's precious to God, because that's our ticket to heaven. That's our redemption. We couldn't be redeemed. We couldn't attain heaven without the blood of Christ being spilled on the cross. The Bible's clear that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sins. So that blood of Christ is precious to God. It ought to be precious to us as well. A lot of people don't like to talk about blood. It makes them queasy and things like that. And talking about human blood and stuff like that. But the blood of Christ is something that's that important to us that it has to be. It's something that's costly, like we said, beloved, honored, and dear to us because of what it means to us. There's no way that we can have a relationship with God without His Son's blood. And then 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn ahead to the next chapter there. Peter uses the word precious a lot. Starting in verse 4. Peter says here, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The words for precious here in verses 4 and 6 mean valued, dear, more honorable. And then the one in verse 7 is the same one we read before, costly, honored, beloved, and dear. The cornerstone in any foundation is of great value because that's what ties the foundation walls together. That has to be set perfectly plumb, perfectly level, otherwise the building's going to be off. And the Bible talks about us as being the building. So we're going to be off unless we build our lives on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And it's precious when that is perfectly plumb and perfectly level, that it's true. He has to be the foundation of our lives in order for us to build our lives the way that God wants us to. So that is something that's precious as well. And then last one here is in 2 Peter chapter 1. These are the verses that Lee had read earlier. Our fellowship, I think, is precious to God, and it ought to be precious to us as well. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, our fellowship with one another, it talks about precious faith. We need to fellowship with other people of like precious faith. Okay, there's a lot of religions in the world today. There are a lot of faiths in the world today. But there's only one precious faith. That's the faith that's found in the Word of God. And when we meet up with other people that have that same like precious faith, it's a wonderful time of fellowship. I enjoy that. I've mentioned this before different times I spoke. You know, when we go on vacation or we go visit somebody and go to the church with them, we don't know anybody else at that church. But if it's a church of like precious faith, you feel like you've been there forever. It's really neat. It's really encouraging to have that like precious faith with other people because they believe the same book that we believe. They worship the same God that we worship. And we can have that. But it's also neat in verse 4 there where he talks about these exceeding great and precious promises. Verse 3, we looked at that in Sunday school when Jim Berg talked about that. But God has given us one of these promises here. He's given us everything that we need, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We don't lack anything to be what God wants us to be. Everything that we need is in the Word of God here. We may still have questions. We may not understand all of it. We certainly don't understand all of it because we're not God. But everything that we need is found there. We just need to search it out, to dig into it, and find out where it is and how to apply it to our lives. So that's a great, precious promise from God that He gives us everything that we need. Isn't a promise from a loved one dear to you? Maybe a mom or dad, when they promise to take their son or daughter out somewhere for the birthday or something, and unfortunately sometimes we have to break those promises because something else comes up, or that's devastating to the child when you have to break that promise. So we need to be very careful that we don't give them a bad picture of God when He promises to us that He always carries those promises true to the end. We need to be careful that we don't let things that shouldn't break those promises break them. There's too many times that other things seem to be more important to us than keeping a promise to a child. But it is important. It's a big thing to them. It may not be that big to you in your eyes, but it's a big thing to them. So keep your promises just like God does. We're God's children. He may think, well, you know, I don't have to keep that promise. I got other things to do. We rely on Him to keep His promises, so others should rely on us. God promises to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not some, not most, but all. And it's all in the Word of God for us. So we can certainly be thankful for the promises that God gives us in His Word. So we learn a lot about God and the things that are precious to Him. And if these things are precious to Him, they ought to be precious to us as well. Okay, physical life ought to be precious to us. And the sustenance of the physical life, right? Food, air, water, things like that we need to stay physically alive. God's Word is precious to Him. It ought to be precious to us. Get in it. Read it. Study it. Spiritual life and growth and trials and fellowship is precious to God. Should be precious to us as well. We ought to be in the Word of God and growing and fellowshipping with His people. God's Son and the sacrifice He made on the cross, Christ's blood, is precious to God. And it ought to be precious to us as well. And that should show forth. Maybe there's other people looking for friends out there and they're watching us to see what's precious to us. Are they seeing that Christ is precious to us? That our relationship with God is something that's precious to us? Or are they seeing just somebody that's going about his day, doing what he has to do, moping around, grumpy, complaining about everything? I hope that they can see Christ in us as believers. Life in heaven is precious to God, and one day it's going to be more precious to us. Wisdom is precious to God. I hope that that's precious to us as well, and that we don't just go through life trying to gain more knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and not put it into practice. We need to have that wisdom to do what God would have us do. So I hope that we can apply these things. It doesn't matter what age you are here today, but we can certainly all apply the things that are precious to God to make them more precious to us in our lives, and to be serving Him and to be growing in Him as well.